question was?
Yes, my next question was that there are different planets that have different mind levels, right? Or something like that. Earth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And in this material world, yes, Brahmaloka is the highest.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But and Earth, but what's Earth and what's down there? What's the lowest?
Well, Pataloka.
Pataloka,
yes.
Yes. And there is life also there.
Yes.
But total difference.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm. But.
Oh, Pataloka, where is that Bali Maharaj? Yeah. There's sometimes, generally, but there's sometimes great souls in other places too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But generally, yeah, demoniac life in the lower planets,
mm-hmm.
That's generally, yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, let's say, about a month ago, I spoke to a devotee named Arjuna.
Mm-hmm.
Here in Tallinn,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we discussed the same thing that we are discussing right here,
mm-hmm.
The lower planets, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he said that the Vedas, right, say that yes, though there are demons that live basically on those lower planets, and in the sense of love total surrendering and that kind of important things, they are not on a high level, right?
Yeah, demons means low level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But Arjuna said that that some of them have a very high how to say it. Intellectual level. I mean that they have a very advanced technology.
Yes, there are demons who are materially very advanced.
Materially advanced, yes,
yeah.
Yes. So,
yeah.
But those demons, I mean,
we see them on this planet also.
That was my question.
We have a demoniac culture, which is very, very technologically advanced.
Technologically advanced,
yeah.
Yes. Okay. Just to. One's ego, right?
Yeah, they, for the sake of trying to enjoy this material world, they've made a high-tech society, but that can be used for Krishna. It's like here we have an MP3 recorder with 40 gigabyte hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little tiny box, but it's such a huge recording capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be utilized in Krishna's service.
Yes. So the meaning is that knowledge can be good too if you use it in Krishna consciousness, right? If you use it for a good purpose, right?
If we use the modern technology for a good purpose, like the internet, advanced means of travel like jet airplanes, etc., if we use this for Krishna, then it's very auspicious. Purifies everything.
Mm-hmm. Purifies everything. Okay. But
can you explain about your e-course
I've utilized the internet. I have an e-course where I have 20,000 people signed up for regular mailings to the internet. We have what's called Thought for the Day. It goes out to about 6,000 people every day. And then our weekly lesson goes out to about 20,000 people all over the world. So we're utilizing the internet to give Krishna conscious message regularly to so many thousands of people throughout the world. It's a good, nice example. How you can use modern technology to spread Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Because God, right, there's only one God, right? And in all the religions, yes, okay, I understand that. But still, I can, if I want to evolve spiritually, right? Yes.
You would like to evolve spiritually?
Evolve spiritually, yes.
Yes, very good.
And in the Kali Yuga age, the best way is to practice Bhakti Yoga, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But in earlier ages, there were different yoga systems that worked better, right?
There was other... Actually, the holy name chanting, it works effectively in all ages,
mm-hmm.
but There were other systems that were predominant in the previous ages. In the Satya Yuga, it was a meditational yoga system of sitting down and, you know, meditating silently and all that. That was the Satya Yuga. And the Treta Yuga, the system was great sacrificial ceremonies. And then in the Dwarpa Yuga, the previous yuga, the system was very, very elaborate, opulent deity worship in the temples.
Mm-hmm.
And in this age, the system is chanting Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so those other systems don't work 100%, right?
They don't work in this age. The other three systems are not practical in this age.
In some way, or totally impractical?
Totally.
Totally. So, basically, is it possible for, if I want to evolve spiritually through Bhakti Yoga, and that's the perfect system for this age, but can I,
utilize
some aspects of
other
systems,
can.
So that I can, evolve better.
We use some aspects. Some of those things are still utilized in this age. Like we do deity worship, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're worshiping Sri Sri Radha Damodar. So that's, but we don't do it with such opulence as they previous did. Plus, we, as far as sacrificial ceremonies, we have initiation ceremonies, for example.
Mm-hmm, yes. Uh-huh.
Which is a tiny little replica of the great grand Vedic fire sacrifices, the sacrificial ceremonies they used to have.
Yeah, I saw a video yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Yeah. And as far as the meditational system, well, Prabhupada said we could use that yoga for good health if somebody feels a need. They can do Hatha Yoga if they want to for good health, but that system is not at all practical for self-realization. The meditation or yoga system, it's not at all practical in this age.
Mm-hmm.
The Satya Yuga system, or, you know, meditation or yoga, is not at all practical.
Mm-hmm. In this age, just to make the point clear, Bhakti Yoga is the system that, if it is truly practiced, I mean, in its true form, as it is written, right? As it must be, then this is a system that will completely allow us to break through the circle of birth and death, and to make us free from material existence, right?
It will absolutely purify us.
But to evolve spiritually, it is allowed, and is it not? Of course, it's possible, but is it positive? Is it good that let's say I will take something from Buddhism, you know, some aspects, so that
You don't need to see in Krishna Bhakti. You don't have to say, "Well, I'll go in and take some little Buddhism." You don't need to do that because it's already there.
It's all there.
You don't have to do that. It's already there.
But,
see, all but the good potent things of Buddhism, the good potent things of Christianity, the good potent things of Judaism, they're already in Krishna Bhakti. You don't have to go in and add them. They're already there.
Mm-hmm.
They already come. It's a computer that's fully loaded. You may say, well, this competitive brand of computer, it has a really nice thing. I'd like to add it to, you know, I have a Dell computer, and I'd like to, you know, I see HP has something really nice. I'd like to add that to my Dell, or I see that IBM has something really nice. I'd like to add that to my Dell, but the Dell is already fully loaded. It has everything that you'll find in this is a mundane example.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you'll find in the IBM or in the HP, it's already in the Dell, so you don't need to add it. The Dell is fully loaded already. That's just a mundane example, but so Krishna consciousness already has every aspect, every possible thing that could help you to become powerfully situated in spiritual enlightenment is already there in Bhakti Yoga. You don't have to add anything from somewhere else.
Okay.
Doesn't need to be improved. You don't need a new improved model of Bhakti Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
already.
You don't need a mixture of.
You don't need to mix something because. You're not. There's nothing. There's nowhere else to mix it from.
Ah, because
Krishna.
There.
Because Bhakti Yoga the Bhakti Yoga is Christianity, and it's properly practiced is Bhakti Yoga. Buddhism, when it's actually properly practiced in the highest sense, is Bhakti Yoga. They're all Bhakti Yoga. So you don't need to go somewhere else and, you know, get something else. Anything you'll find in the Bible, for example, is already there in the Vedas. I mean, I'll give you an example. In the Bible, Lord Jesus, somebody said, well, Lord Jesus, I'd like to join your movement. I want to become one of the members of your, you know, your Christian movement. And but at first I have to go bury my relative who just died. And then I'll come back later and join you. So what did Jesus say? He said, let the dead bury the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So that's what we're saying in Krishna consciousness. That when you surrender to Krishna, you are free from all other obligations. Christ was saying the same thing. That Krishna said 5,000 years ago, Christ repeated it 2,000 years ago when he said, let the dead bury the dead. So anything wonderful or sublime you'll find in Christianity, Buddhism, Judaism, it's all already there in the Vedas.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't need to add anything else to the Vedas. They need to add the Vedic wisdom to Christianity, to Buddhism,
yes,
to Judaism, etc.
Mm-hmm.
To make it perfect.
To make it perfect,
that's
yes.
Right.
But if we add those to...
Anything good that's in Christianity that you want to add in Krishna consciousness is already existing there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't add it because it's already there. You can say, well, this is a very nice concept, let the dead bury the dead, so let's add this to Krishna consciousness. But wait a minute, Krishna consciousness already has that concept even further developed.
Okay.
Than Christ. Christ gave a very rudimentary, elementary, ABC level of bhakti yoga to his followers. So Krishna consciousness already has that, and it goes far beyond it. Here's the best example to help you understand. In the library over here, there may be a big unabridged dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
That's Krishna consciousness. You may find a little pocket dictionary also you can put in your shirt pocket. That is Christianity. You can say, oh, I found a definition in this pocket dictionary. It's so wonderful. I want to add this definition to the unabridged dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
But that word is already defined in the unabridged dictionary in far greater depth than it is defined in the pocket dictionary.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand that.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
That's a good example.
Yeah. It's an example from Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's why it's so good.
Yes. Okay. Yes. But in this age, as we said, as you mentioned earlier, that a person can be... fully free himself through Islam also, right?
Yes.
Yes, and but it's possible that some person feels that yes, he understands that Christian consciousness. Yes, he understands all those aspects, but it just feels that for him in this in his level, Islam, no. It's better for him, you know.
We have no objection.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel, if someone feels that chanting Hare Krishna is something Hindu, then let them go to their Christian church and chant the name of Jesus. We have no objection.
Mm-hmm. Because if he practices Christianity in its true form, mm-hmm.
he can become perfect also by following Lord Jesus, but he has to follow the actual injunction, thou shalt not kill.
Yes, not kill.
You cannot eat the byproducts of a slaughterhouse and be a pure Christian.
Yes. You can't eat corpses, right?
Well, technically if they died naturally you could.
Technically, yes.
Technically,
but it's still not good. If
the animal dies a natural death, then you didn't kill it.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't do that, they put him in a slaughterhouse. And then you can kill them and eat them.
They murder them,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
They murder these innocent creatures. What is the poor cow doing? She's eating grass, which you cannot eat. And she's giving milk,
Yes.
And don't you enjoy the milk products, ice cream?
Yes.
Yogurt, smoothies.
Cheese.
Cheese.
And how to say it in English? One other thing too. Mm. A milk product. You boy.
Butter.
Butter and.
Paneer,
they call it.
And you boil milk and it becomes thick.
Curd.
Not cheese, but.
Curd.
Burfi.
Or something like that, yes.
Milk sweets.
Yes.
So, so how we can take this cow who's giving us so much wonderful, wonderful, delightful foodstuffs through her milk products, and when she gets old and her milk bag dries up, we murder her and eat her flesh? That's like saying, well, you know, a little baby, I suck my mother's breast, and then when I grow up a little and her breast is no longer feeding me, then I will kill her and eat her body. You see, it is the most gross, sinful activity to kill the cow and eat the cow.
I personally, let's say, well, for 1 month, yes, I haven't eaten meat.
That's very good.
Yes.
Now you continue.
Yes, because now I already realized it many months ago, but fully, totally, I mean, in practice, yes, I have not practiced it, yes, about a month.
Very good. Month.
Yes, but totally from the, I came to Tartu, yes, to study in university, yes, it's my first year. In 25th of August, and since then, when I was home, right? Yes, I went to the Krishna consciousness temple in Tallinn. Yes, and I understand it and everything. But still, home.
It was not practical for
me. Yes, yes. Some material world, right? And
your parents were in trying to influence you.
Of course.
Keep eating meat.
Of course, yes. And I ate it a little bit. But now, basically, I live alone, right?
That's the advantage of student life when you go out to the university.
Yes,
now
yes.
You can develop your own lifestyle.
Yes. But now it's clear to me that even if I go to visit someone and he or she offers me something, you know, to eat, right? No, I understand that he or she doesn't has the full knowledge of it. He doesn't understand that it's bad because it's been hundreds of years that people have eaten meat, right? And he thinks it's right, and he wants to know, wants to do good, right? But I understand that, I respect that, but I will not take it.
That's good.
Yes.
That's very good.
Even if it's presented in a respectful way.
Well, that's very nice. I'm I have some I might to do some. Do you have any further questions, or you're pretty satisfied for now?
Yes, of course, yes. Bad karma and good karma, right?
Yeah, there's three types of karma.
Three.
There's
first?
Bad karma, good karma, and no karma.
Ah, no karma.
In Sanskrit, it is called bad karma is called vikarma, and good karma is called karma, and no karma is called akarma. If you do some pious activity, you help someone in a materialistic way. You know, maybe you go to some village and you dig a well so all the villagers can get water. You do some pious activity. That's called karma, and you get very good reaction for them. If you do something sinful, like eating meat or hurting someone, then you get you punished for that. You get a sinful reaction. But if you do bhakti, Krishna consciousness activities, that is called akarma. That's the third type. For that, there is no material reaction. Just imagine if you are a very pious man and you build a hospital for the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have to get rewarded. You gave so many people free medical care. Now, how will they pay you back? They will give you free medical care in future lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a wonderful thing, that you can get sick and you can get free medical care? So, good karma is not as good as it may seem to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always some bad that comes along with the good in this material
world. Yes, yes.
But if you want nothing but good, then you come to the position of akarma or Krishna consciousness, because there's no, nothing bad comes along with the reward you get for surrendering to Krishna.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Completely good.
Mm-hmm. But if you're not connected with God in a bhakti yoga,
then you remain in karma, and you're not connected with God, you remain within karma and vikarma.
Yes.
You cannot get out of the cycle of karma unless you're connected with God.
Yes. And if you suffer, you reduce the bad karma, right? And if you enjoy...
That's right. That's right. When you suffer, then you're burning off your bad karma. And you enjoy, you're burning off your good karma.
So that some people that have no connection with God, and it seems that everything is okay with them.
That's because they did past pious activities. They're burning off the reactions of their past pious activities. And as soon as they're burned off, they'll be dragged down to a poverty-stricken condition.
Back in the
gutter. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
And again, like this.
That's right.
But the thing is that...
But when you take the bhakti, then you're just going up
mm-hmm.
forever. You're not going up and down. You're going up forever. Eternally going up. Mm-hmm. Things will get better and better and better for you eternally.
But is it that the bad karma reduces?
When you take the Krishna consciousness, you still get the reactions from your... You still get the benefit of your good karma.
Uh-huh.
And you offer that to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And the reactions to your bad karma, they are minimized.
Minimized.
You only get a token from your bad karma. Actually, when you surrender to Krishna, you take yourself out of the domain of good karma and bad karma. And you come into the realm of Krishna's spiritual energy. Completely. But it's a gradual process. In the beginning, we're still being influenced to some extent by our karma.
Mm-hmm.
But as you advance, that influence gradually becomes less and less and less. And finally, when you come to pure, unalloyed bhakti, then there's absolutely no influence of karma whatsoever on you. None whatsoever. Absolute zero influence.
Mm-hmm. Okay, one last question.
Right, we'll make one more, then we can have more meetings later.
Yes, okay. I understood the point, everything is good, but still, about the religion aspect, right? If Krishna is the original religion, no, the ultimate truth, right? But if a person who serves, let's say, God in Christianity, Allah or something like that, and if he does it in a bhakti way, right, and eliminates the negative elements like meat eating and stuff like that,
right.
He can still achieve 100% the same effect that
almost the same. When you get down to the subtleties, there is a difference. In other words, he can go to the spiritual world and become an eternal associate of the Lord. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
He can, in fact, go to the spiritual world and become an eternal associate of God. However, there are millions and billions of planets in the spiritual world. In such a person who didn't have a relationship with Krishna or with Lord Chaitanya, he will go to one of the Vaikuntha planets.
Mm-hmm.
Where Lord Vishnu presides, or Lord Jesus could be there. He'll go on these other planets. But if he wants to go to the most intimate pastimes of the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan, then he has to take to directly to worshiping Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
He'll still go to the spiritual world, but he may not go to the Krishna Loka planet.
Mm-hmm. So he can go higher, but if he doesn't know anything, if he doesn't know the word Krishna, right?
He can go to one of the Vaikuntha planets.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Higher planets, right.
And actually from there he could then promote himself even further to Krishna's planet.
So it's possible that on this planet Earth, on his level, maybe it's not meant for some person to, you know, maybe it's meant for some person to, yes, evolve spiritually, but to evolve to that extent that he, after death, goes to
some person maybe
and finishes his, let's say, spiritual evolution there.
Someone could be constitutionally a resident of Vaikuntha,
mm-hmm,
instead of a Goloka Vrindavan resident. That's possible. However, that constitution is mutable. A living entity anywhere in the spiritual world can in fact elevate himself to Goloka Vrindavan if he has that inclination to do so. The there are five primary relationships that one can have with God: Shantaras, neutrality; Dashiras, servitude; Vatsalyaras, friendship; then there's parental rasa. What is the Sanskrit?
Parental rasa is
Vatsalya. Oh, parental is Vatsalya. And the friendship is?
Sakyam.
Sakyam, okay, yeah. Sakyam, Sakya rasa is friendship, Vatsalya is parental, and the Madhurya rasa, that is conjugal. So, there are five primary relationships that one can have with God.
Mm-hmm.
On the Vaikuntha realm, the most they can come to is the platform of servitorship. But to go beyond that to having a more intimate personal friendship with God or a parental relationship or a conjugal relationship requires entering into this Goloka Vrindavan planet. So, in one sense, there's no difference because they're all lovers of God. They're serving Him according to their full capacity. So in that sense, there's no difference. But yet, by comparative analysis, we see there is more variety of relationships when you come to the Goloka Vrindavan, the realm of the spiritual world. More varieties of relationships than exist in the Vaikuntha realm, where everybody is just, you know, the biblical conception, the Quranic, if that's the word, conception, is a conception of the Vaikuntha realm.
Mm-hmm.
Where you worship the Lord as the supreme holy of holies, bowing down at His feet. But in this Goloka planet, Krishna brings His surrendered bhaktas under a spell of what's called yoga maya to actually forget that He's God and relate with Him as a boyfriend, as a pal, or as a lover. The gopis see Him as their most intimate lover. And that way they relate to the Guru. Of course, there are hints of that even in the Bible, but it's not explicitly explained.
But if you understand, the Vedic literature, yes, if you understand that, yes, the Vedic literature, if you understand that, then if you look at the Bible with that knowledge, you can understand the Bible better, right?
Yeah, that's right. In the Bible, there is some place in the Old Testament where God is actually being spoken about as if He's a lover, but it's not very well understood by Christian theologians.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you take the Vedic wisdom and become very learned in Prabhupada's books and go back and look at the Bible, you'll see all kinds of things that the Christians can't even see. That's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All kinds of things you'll see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
the Bible takes on a new life after you, if you study it through the light of Srila Prabhupada's books. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, I see. But the Vedic literature, that's okay, it is the ultimate truth. But still, it gives Krishna, yes, a material form, a blue, a blue person or something like that, right? But how can you say how can you say that this is the true form?
Yes.
And this is the true form. And let's say a Bible says
you've
the true form.
You asked one question. Can I answer that question?
Okay.
How can we say that the form of Krishna is the true form of God?
Mm-hmm.
How will you discover that this indeed is the true form of God? Well, that is a very simple thing. You simply follow the Bhakti Yoga system with all sincerity and devotion, And that day, by doing so, you will come to that point when by you will actually directly see God face to face. You will directly perceive. And then you will know that that form, that bluish, blackish complexion with a peacock feather in the hair playing the flute, you will know from your own personal experience that that indeed is the form of God. When you directly meet Krishna face to face, you will know. And until that time, you can take the word of those who have seen him. Like Lord Brahma, for example, in the Brahma Samhita, or Srila Prabhupada, who has directly seen God. You can take their word and follow their instructions, and you will come to that point of also. Just like, have you ever been to India? You see. But I can tell you how to go to India. I have been there many, many times. I've lost count how many times I've been. You see. So I can tell you how to go to India. And if you follow my instructions, you will come to India. And until that time, you can still know all about India by hearing from me. Because I can tell you all about India. You see? So even without having gone there, you can know. If you take my word, you will also know. I have seen. But you, even without having been, by taking my word about India, you will also know all about India. And you can tell others about India also. You can give lectures on Indian culture by hearing from me in all details what is Indian culture, even without having gone. So, we may not have seen Krishna, but we are hearing from Prabhupada who has seen Krishna. And by following his instructions, we will see Krishna. And even in, before then, we can accurately describe who is Krishna because we have heard it from someone who has seen Krishna. From someone who is seeing Krishna at every minute, we are hearing. What is Krishna?
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Okay.
So, next session, we have to discuss this and we have to make the arrangement.
For tomorrow, for Sunday. Yeah, we'll discuss. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.